All right, Buck. Here's a still shot, by the way, of that two-point conversion that was called good by the officials and the replay center on Saturday afternoon. What do you think? Did he get there?
I don't think so, unless that ball moves and hits that pylon.
It did not do that.
Sorry.
But we're going to call that good on the field. There's a ref literally standing above the pylon. He's going to say it's good, and then the replay center is also going to say, yeah, no, that's clearly not there.
They said on TV they have a better angle than what you see. Really? That angle looks pretty good to me.
Yeah, well, how about a better angle of these nuts, SEC replay center?
Trick or treat.
Give me a break with that one. Oh, my God. Just some insane calls. Thankfully, they didn't matter in the grand scheme. They did matter if you bet on Texas minus 3.5. I feel so bad for people who did that because that's a joke. Sportsbooks should be handing out refunds. They won't, but they should be handing out refunds for some of what happened there. But we can get into Texas's problems down the stretch, because blame the refs all you want. Texas still had way too many letdowns defensively down the stretch. The one play 67-yard touchdown completion from Diego Pavia to Eli Stowers, that was right after Mason Shipley missed that 51-yard field goal. I mean, you can let Vanderbilt score on that possession, but make him take a few minutes off the clock, please. You can't give him a 67-yard touchdown that only takes 10 seconds. And then Texas gets the ball back. They punt for the first time in the game. And then, boy, this game also should have been over. Look, Vanderbilt had a 4th and 19 at their own 1-yard line. Ethan Burke just had a big sack. It was the 6th sack of the game for the Longhorns, the 2nd for him. It's 4th and 19. They're backed up. Like, you get a stop on that play.
That's not supposed to happen.
No. So, like, blame the refs all you want, and I blamed them a lot, and I'll continue to blame them because they had a huge role, and we should have never even gotten to that play if they were just doing their jobs. But you can't give up a 4th and 19 from anywhere on the field, but especially when they're at their own 2-yard line.
Yeah, that's the real dagger. That's the one that hurt. How does that happen?
Yeah, that gets converted, and then Vandy goes no huddle up tempo.
I don't care if you don't have safeties. Go put another 4-string cornerback to go sit in the middle of the field.
Right.
Give up 19 yards.
Just completion after completion after completion. Texas went more prevent. They stopped bringing pressure. They just dropped back into soft zones. And Diego Pavia, to his credit, was finding guys open. And he made some big plays. Obviously, the Vanderbilt receivers were finding soft spots in the Texas zone defense. And, yeah, they were getting open. And it was just like, oh, my God, what is happening here? Like, what?
Yeah, they become the worst secondary down the stretch when it gets to be, you know, when it gets to be ending the game, they scare you. You get nervous when you're up by 10 and there's 8 minutes in the fourth quarter. I start to get a little panicky when other teams have the ball and they've got a little bit of momentum.
Well, what's interesting is
they're not going to call holding. I mean, I don't know how these guys, I don't know how they let guys just grab guys and throw them down to the turf.
Grabbing guys, tackling guys. I mean, it's insane. Like, I did not watch Arkansas, Mississippi State. I'll probably watch that today just because I'm a psychopath and why not? But Arkansas had 18 penalties called on them. Like, I just checked the box score. So it is possible to call that many penalties on somebody in this league. And we've already seen an SEC official get suspended for the rest of the season for missing a bunch of calls. So I don't know, man. Like, I'm looking at that crew on Saturday. I'm seeing if they have any FanDuel accounts. I got to talk to Craig Way because he has access to the whole crew. I'm going to do a little investigative journalism here.
All right.
See if I can find some.
Get your people on this.
Or DraftKings or Circa accounts, whatever.
Hey, they already got their TVs.
They already got their TV. Apparently, they weren't big enough. Apparently, Tom McKay only gave them 55-inch screens instead of 65 or 85.
Yeah, they're looking for 85s. That's what happened in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that's what happened in the fourth quarter, I guess. But, yeah, like, it's back to the defense, back to the secondary. You know, the fourth quarter was the only time they played well last week against Mississippi State. Remember, they were getting picked apart for three quarters and even at the start of the fourth quarter. And then down the stretch, they got some big stops. And then this game, it was like, well, for the first three quarters, Vanderbilt couldn't do anything offensively. And then down the stretch, they couldn't get stops.
So, yeah, they truly have a lot of guys banged up. They got to get – this is a week – this is a big week for Texas right here. This is This is get yourself well in the biggest of games coming up. It just they needed this week off, brother. They really did. And that group in particular needs to get healthy.
Yeah, they do. And getting Michael Taft back will be huge because, again, I mean, you could argue the two worst secondary performances of the year have been in these last two games where you haven't had Michael Taft. Everybody knows how good he is as a player, as a communicator, as in everything, as the heart and soul of that Texas secondary. And they have definitely missed him. And then you lost
him in this game. So that must not be healed up enough. They obviously just said, no, that's a no-go. There must be too much pain or whatever it is with that. So,
yeah, the initial timeline was Georgia. Like it always felt like a bit of a stretch for him to play in this Vanderbilt game. It would have been great, you know, and everyone was making the John Mateer comparisons like, oh, Mateer came back earlier than they thought and he played. Well, number one, I don't know if the injuries were the exact same or if the surgeries were the exact same. Number two, there were 17 days between Mateer's surgery and the Texas game. There were 12 days between Taft's surgery and the Vanderbilt game. So, yeah, would have loved to have had him. I don't think that fourth quarter happens the way that it does if he was out there. I'll say the same thing about Jelani McDonald, too. I mean, he's been great as the other safety, if you will, for the Longhorns this year. And he got hurt early on and did not return. So,
and I thought Muhammad got hurt, too. Didn't I see him get?
I don't think so. Muhammad, you know, like they rested him on a few snaps, but I don't think he got.
Is that all that was? I thought he got banged up in the leg a little bit, but I guess not.
I don't think so. Phil Simi got hurt, but he returned. I mean, McCutcheon got hurt as a wide receiver. He came back into the football game. There were a lot of guys leaving for Texas. Some guys came back. Some guys obviously didn't. Yeah, this secondary, there's too much talent. Even without Michael Taft and Jelani McDonald, there's too much talent for that to be happening.
And I agree.
Like, that's just bad right there. And Gunnar Stockton is having a great year, Georgia's quarterback. You know, Arkansas, they're really struggling as a team, but they can score. Taylen Green's a solid quarterback. They're putting up points. They just can't stop anybody. No. And A&M, I mean, Marcel Reed might be a Heisman finalist right now, too. So you've got some good quarterbacks still on your schedule. You have to button up a few things on that side of the football here, because as good as this offense is, it feels like they've turned a corner. I'm still not ready to rely on this Texas offense to get you 30 to 40 a game. Your defense is going to have to look like the elite group that they've looked like more often than not this year.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt that and your special teams has to remain good because, you know, the offense has had two straight really nice games. Did they get a third? Well, this will really mean something if you get a third here coming up in a week and a half. I will feel absolutely fantastic if they can go to Athens and get a win by no matter what it is. I don't care how it gets done. Who cares? Yeah. You know, if you can get a win there, then you're really rolling. So it's just kind of gathering momentum. But this is a great time to get some rest now.
100%. Yeah, it was a tough 5-game stretch. I mean, we talked about it. I think every Longhorn fan kind of knew these 5 games to open up conference play was going to sort of make or break this Texas season. And they went 4-1. And I don't think that's bad at all, considering the travel, they played 2 top 10 teams in that stretch, and considering they lost their first game, like, you know, Texas a month ago, Buck, I think that Florida game was on October 4th. Today's November 3rd. After Texas lost that game, nobody was talking about the Horns being a playoff team. Nobody was talking about the Horns potentially making a run at an SEC championship. They had dropped out of the AP top 25. Remember, it was like they're the quickest team to start number one and be unranked in the history of college football. Like, that was the conversation about Texas. You've got articles coming out saying Arch Manning is college football's biggest flop of all time. Season, I mean, they were 3-2, but they were 0-2 against real teams. And it felt like the season was falling apart. Forget sky was falling. It felt like the sky had already fallen. And then what have they done since then? They've won 4 games in a row, 2 of them against top 10 teams, 3 of them on the road. They're back into the top 15 in the AP polls, and they're a one-loss team in the SEC with 3 games to play. Quite the turnaround for Texas. Give them credit.
Yeah, nobody's talking about the head coach needing to find somebody to call plays over the last couple of weeks.
No, they're not. And one other thing that Steve Sarkisian deserves credit for, sort of a behind-the-scenes thing that happened before the Mississippi State game, Steve Sarkisian moved quarterback coach A.J. Milwee from the sideline to the press box. And he moved Mike Bamonte, another assistant, from the press box to the sideline. And it's worked a lot You've had your two best offensive showings of the year in these last two games. And Sark was asked about it last week, and he gave A.J. Milley a bunch of credit for pointing some things out in the Mississippi State game. And I don't know if it's a coincidence that, again, Texas had a strong performance. That subtle change that, you know, probably won't get talked about on a TV broadcast, that has seemingly paid some massive dividends for this offense.
And for the offensive line coach, you know, that guy was kind of much maligned here lately. Now, all of a sudden, that they found ways to get guys in the right spots, or at least get their best players in the spot. I mean, like I said, I was looking for numbers at left guard. I didn't see any, you know, I just saw a bunch of guys that played together and didn't get a lot of, and got a lot of help even from running backs stepping up and helping with guys sliding off. They did a good job of protecting their quarterback and shoring up that pocket for them on Saturday.
Oh, that was huge. That was absolutely huge. Yeah, another good change. I mean, look, you can make changes midseason. You're allowed to get better. You're allowed to develop. This is a pretty young and inexperienced team. I know Texas was ranked preseason number one, so that changed everybody's expectations. That's just
They were supposed to be beating people by 30 and 40. You know, they were supposed to be averaging 40 points a game.
I get it. And this is not like trying to ignore the bad that happened, but this is a team that had eight starters to replace on offense. A rational thought was probably that it was going to take some time for these guys to figure it out, and it seems like they figured it out. Now, you could keep getting better, and you're playing some really tough teams, so it's not going to be easy down the stretch, but it's obvious that group has made some strides as the season.
Or you can truly get better offensively if you can run the ball, because you really can protect the quarterback then.
I don't know if that group's going to get better. It can.
I got a big enough sample size of the guys who are running with the ball and the guys who are blocking for the run. Now I'm fine. Mm-hmm. I know in my mind, it's not going to all of a sudden become like they were last year, where all of a sudden somebody's going to rush for 220 and, you know, 175. That's not what they're going to do. They're going to have to throw the ball to win the games. We know how they're going to win the games. They're going to have explosive plays. It won't be in the run game. It'll be in the passing game. So you have to protect the passer. And you have to catch the ball when it's thrown to you. So I know how they're going to get their points, you know. But goal line offense, you're going to have to be creative. Scoring zone, you're going to have to be creative. You know, if you want to take that big kid you brought from Florida, who's a straight liner now, and want to make him a fullback, that's fine, because he's fullback weight now at 225. I'm going to give him only 225. I'm not saying he's 230 or 235 or 240. I'm going to say he's probably two and a quarter. But he's a straight liner now. There's no shake and bake to him. So get him in a way that he can now become your guy in motion and do some things. You know, if he gets it, he's still hard to bring down, or he'll fall over you. He'll fall over you. He's not going to shake. He's not going to make you miss.
He's not hard to bring down right now. It sucks.
He is a straight liner. Can you see how straight line he is running with the ball?
He's straight line and he's not breaking tackles. You can be a straight liner if you're like running through a couple of arm tackles, but he's not doing that right now. So it sucks. I mean, it's injuries, and I'm not like closing the book on CJ Baxter's career.
No. He's just, you know, once again, remember, coming off a knee, folks. Hell, he's just lucky to be out there playing.
And a hammy.
Hammy to go along with that. He's just every week that he can get some rest, which is big this week, he'll get hopefully a little bit better. He'll get a little bit more, you know, flexible with his flexibility with the knee and the hamstring. But I don't expect to see him burst onto the scene like we saw him as a freshman right now.
If I'm Chad Scott, I am trying to get James Simon as ready as possible for
the There's game. No doubt.
You can't,
that guy should,
you can't
be pretty, Trey Weisner, should be pretty fresh.
Yeah, you can't give Trey Weisner every single carry. He's your best running back right now. There's no doubt about that. But you can't give him every single touch. You got to bring somebody else in, obviously. And I don't think you're getting enough with CJ Baxter. I know he caught a touchdown on Saturday, but I don't think you're getting enough difference making from him in the running game to keep trotting him out there.
Yeah. And as much as I think Christian Clark is who he is, I'd have rather seen him out there than Baxter and some of those carries. I'm like, at least he's got some shake to him.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't seen a lot from him either this year. So.
No, that's just kind of hoping a lot that things will change. But if Trey Weisner, the healthier he can stay, you know, and the more you put it in his hands, the better off for the team.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's your best running back right now. So he's not elite, but he runs hard. Again, yes, I was so impressed with what he did in blitz pickup on Saturday because Vanderbilt was bringing pressure a lot, and Arch doesn't get those clean pockets if not for the hard work at number five, just sticking his nose in there and making those plays. But yeah, I mean, it's you just don't have an elite back right now, and your depth behind Trey Wisner is still in question. So it's tough. Tough pickets for the Texas run game in 2025.
And, yeah, they're similar to the secondary.
No, the secondary's been a lot better than their Texas run game. I know they've had a couple of bad performances in a row, but like the secondary was really, really good for a large portion of this season.
It's just the injuries have caught up to them.
Right. They've had more injuries as of late than the running back room has. So I feel better about the secondary getting it right than the run game getting it right, I guess is the point that I am trying to make.
We'll just take 100 yards and go about our business in these games. And we'll definitely take 100 next week.
Yeah, I think so. I think you have to. All right, one more from Steve Sarkisian here. Let's talk about the fourth quarter. I mean, we've talked about it a lot, but Steve Sarkisian was asked about the fourth quarter. And, you know, you're up 34-10 after three. Vandy scores 21 unanswered. All of a sudden, there's an onside kick that you muff. Thankfully, it goes out of bounds. But the game comes down to an onside kick. You were just up by 24 a few minutes ago. What happened? Here's the head coach talking about just what went wrong down the stretch.
Well, I felt like myself included, we got, I think, too caught up in the officiating. And there are some things there that, you know, we're going to want to get answers to, which we'll turn in and figure out, you know, why that occurred. It went from a 41-16 game to a 34-31 game in a short amount of time. Now, we can't bust a coverage to give up a long touchdown pass. We got to make them earn it. We've got to get the quarterback on the ground. We got to contain the pocket better when it's a, you know, 4th and 16 from their own 1 yard line. I mean, there's some things in there that we need to improve upon, but that's a good thing that there's something that we can work on that way to improve upon that. But, you know, I felt like the breakdowns, even the touchdown at the end of the first half, I mean, that was an absolute bust on our part. And that's uncharacteristic for us. We've got to get better at that. Now, it's going to help when I get Michael Taff and Jelani McDonald back out there and guys that are, you know, communicating and putting everybody on the same accord. So not having them, you know, not having Mike available to play and then losing Jelani early in the game put a lot of pressure on Derek and Xavier. Then Xavier got nicked up and Jonah was in there. So there were some moving parts, but we need to do a better job as a staff of putting guys in position to make those plays and to not give up those plays when they're there.
Yeah, those dudes need to make those plays. Yep. If they're on that field, they need to be right where they need to be, not you putting them in there. This isn't Pop Warner. Get your ass back there. Don't be giving up, you know, 16-yard play at the 1 yard line. Come on, guys.
Yeah, that was a 4th and 19, not a 4th and 16.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was bad there. And, oh, we didn't even talk about that final drive that Vandy had at the end of the first half where Texas called a timeout. And I'm trying to think exactly, I'm looking this up to make sure I have this right. Vanderbilt has the ball. It's a 3rd and 10 from the Texas 18-yard line. Texas calls a timeout to just, hey, let's make sure we've got our defense set. This is a big play. If we get off the field, we hold them to 3. We'll take that. They take a timeout. And then right out of the timeout, you know, Diego Pavia hits Eli Stowers, who's wide open over the middle for a touchdown. Breaks a tackle with the 3. Tackle there would have been nice. But it's like, how does that happen out of a timeout? You'd be pissed if that wasn't out of a timeout. But out of a timeout, you call that timeout to set up your defense and get the personnel out there.
And make sure you're looking for that particular dude, please.
Right, make sure like everybody knows where they're supposed to be and what they're supposed to do. And, yeah, maybe let's not let their best player and Diego Pavia's roommate and favorite target get wide open here. That's exactly what happened. So there are too many moments where it's just like where it was like the 2023 secondary where guys are just pointing fingers and no one's in the right spot.
Yeah, everybody's looking at everybody else.
What's going on here? So, yeah, you know, Steve Sarkisian in the middle of that answer is like, no, it's a good thing. We have something to work on. I would argue what happened in the fourth quarter is not a good thing at all.
No.
You didn't need that to happen.
I would like to say I don't ever want to see that happen again.
No, not at all. But, yeah, just too many breakdowns, too many blown assignments and just – these guys, I know you're banged up. I know you're without a couple of your leaders and a couple of your best players, but the secondary's got a lot of talent. And some of these guys have been here for a couple of years.
Yeah, that's the part. They're not freshmen. These aren't just guys coming out of high school, stepping onto your field. They've been in here in the system.
Yeah, Derek Williams, a third-year safety. Xavier Filsonme, a second-year guy. I mean, Jalen Gilbo, I thought, had a really rough day. He's, I think, a fourth-year player at corner. Like, you've got guys who have been here for a while now, and they're just, there are too many moments where you're just wondering what they're doing out there. So you shouldn't need to have all of your players for your defense to perform at a high level. Again, a drop-off is understandable, but what we saw in the fourth quarter down the stretch, that didn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, generally a couple of drop-offs means there's some assignment busts. You get one or two of those in a game. There was more than two assignment busts out there.
Oh, for the secondary? Yeah, I mean, there were like four or five on the last drive of the game, felt
That's
like.
That's what I mean. Yeah, you can't have that, no.
Yeah, so that was bad, and it makes Vanderbilt's stat line and Diego Pavia's performance look a lot better than it actually was. I mean, this should have been a blowout. This should have been a dominant victory.
Absolutely.
We're talking about how, you know, Texas played a complete game for 60 minutes and it was never close, and they just did everything right. Now they've got so much confidence going into Georgia. I still think the good outweighs the bad, and I think most Texas fans were like, hey, just find a way to win. Vanderbilt's pretty good. It's a top 10 team. It's a close line. Just find a way to win a must-win game. They did that. They did a lot of things right. But it would be so nice to be talking about 41-16 instead of 34-31 on a Victory Monday show. But alas, the SEC standings do not care about how much you win by at all.
No, they can win them all right now from this point on by 1 point.
It's fine. We'll take it because that means a win at Georgia and a win over Texas A&M. So yes, we'll take a 1 point win over Arkansas.
I'm not accepting wins over A&M by one, though. Sorry.
Oh, I was going to say Arkansas because they suck. But you know what? If a 1 point win over Arkansas means I get wins over Georgia and A&M, then I will take it.
There you go.
Sign for it right now. All right. We will take your thoughts. The Coda text line 512-222-9328. A reminder, we are giving away a $150.
The randomizer is back at it.
Oh, yeah. The randomizer will be back at it. Cabo Bob's gift card being given away at the top of the 9 o'clock hour. To enter to win, no purchase necessary. All you have to do is send us a text on the Coda text line, 512-BABY-FAT. That's 512-222-9328. We'll get back into this game. We also have to talk about one of the best baseball games that was ever played, Game 7 of the World Series on Saturday night. A couple of other big stories from the sports weekend to get into as well. But before any of that, how about another round of sponsor shout-outs?
You know, our friends over at Woods Comfort Systems for over close to 70 years in Central Texas, they've been getting it done. Heating, air conditioning, and plumbing. Maybe I needed to call on them, but Mike will get it done. He's got plumbers that he has to deal with. But with my washer dripping through my drywall right now. But they can get it done. Woods Comfort Systems, absolutely the very best. You know, I thought this weather, BK, was going to cool down enough to get the mosquitoes, but it's still warming up in the afternoon. Yes, I had a mosquito buzz me this morning in my bed. I slapped myself in the face, so I hit myself in the ear so hard, woke my wife up. No, I didn't slap her in the face. I slapped me. I got a buzz. So one of those little creatures got in. So it's not that cold yet. But folks, as it starts to get cold, call on Woods Comfort Systems to come by and make sure that your house is winterized and ready to go. So when you have to turn the heat on, still haven't turned anything off. Everything's cut off in my house. No air, no heat. But I want to thank Woods Comfort Systems for getting the kind of system that I have right now made so everything's comfortable in my house. Obviously, the insulation is done the right way and it's done properly. And they can do that for your home too. And right now, they're doing a great job when it comes to plumbing also. For close to 70 years in Central Texas, nobody does it better than Woods Comfort Systems.
No, they don't. You smacked yourself in the face so hard that you woke yourself up.
I woke my wife up. I hit myself. I heard the mosquito buzzing in my ear at about 2 this morning, and I slapped at it. And you could hear the sound of me slapping myself. My wife woke up. I'm like, I didn't hit you. The way I did this, I was thinking, did I just slap her in the face? Did I hear this mosquito and then reached over and slapped her? She goes, no, you didn't hit me. She goes, but I heard you hit yourself. What are you doing? What are you having bad dreams? It was that skeeter got in my ear, near my ear, buzzed me, drove me out of my mind. I thought they were gone.
Did you get them?
I don't know. I never get that. Well, I did get a second buzz as I was still kind of waking up this morning. I hate that because I got a sliding glass door. So when you do that and you feed the little cats out there, if they slip in, I don't know where they go. I'm going to have to put up some skeeter nets or something in here.
Doesn't sound
I can't
like
take that. That keeps me up, and it drives me crazy when I have to punch myself in the face like Shemp.
Yeah, he didn't get him.
Huh?
That's tough. You didn't get him. You slapped yourself in the face. You woke your wife up. You woke yourself up, and you didn't get him.
And he's still alive, roaming around, waiting for tonight.
Yeah, he's going to get you again tonight. That's great. Shout out Woods Comfort Systems. Also, shout out to Audiovisual Consultations. Oh, man, what a great time on the sports calendar. What a great weekend we just had with Game 6 and 7 of the World Series, with college football, with the NFL. Hopefully you didn't have YouTube TV so you could actually watch all of the great sporting events. But we love AV Consultations. If you want to upgrade your home TV setup, do it with the best. Audiovisual has been around since 1988. They've hooked up thousands of Central Texans with the home TV setups of their dreams, including the Buck and me. Bucky has that 85-inch screen in his room. I've got the 4TV man cave in the living room. You also see these two TVs behind me every morning, professionally installed by the pros at AV Consultation. So if you want a bunch of screens, just one screen. If you want the home theater room with the surround sound, if you want the patio setup outside, doesn't matter. You can do all of those things. avconsultations.com is their website. More importantly, give them a call. 512-255-8678. That's 255-8678.
Love it. And did you get a chance to have your Allstat beer this weekend for the for Halloween? Did you trick or treat with Allstat? Did the kids get any? Did you leave any up there outside the apartment for the kids?
I was handing out Jägermeister to the kiddos.
Grosslager shots.
Yeah, come on, kids. Get a little hair on your chest, kids.
Oh, my God.
You need this stuff. Yeah, I had some Allstat this weekend. Of course, I had some Allstat this weekend. The best beer that you can find all throughout the great state of Texas. And, hey, we've got some great sports opportunities coming up these next few weeks. College basketball returns tonight, by the way.
Nice.
Texas women open up their season against the Incarnate Word at the Moody Center, 7 o'clock. The Texas men will open up tomorrow against Duke is Duke.
Duke is Duke.
In Charlotte. That'll be a tough one. But more sports coming our way, along with the football and the hockey and the basketball and everything. It's awesome. You need a great beer to accompany all of your sports watching all year long. My choice is Allstat. They've got a bunch of different brews, something for every beer drinker out there. If you haven't tried it yet, you are missing out. Your taste buds are going to thank you. And it's brewed locally in Fredericksburg. So every time you buy Allstat, you're supporting local business as well. It's my choice of beer for these fall months. It should be yours as well. It's Allstat beer. No impurities, no regrets.
Nice.
All right. Should we get into the World Series here, Buck?
Yes. The Americans win?
The team from the American League did not win.
But the Americans won. No, nothing's going to Canada.
Oh, the team based in the
U.S. of A won, yes.
Yes, the L.A. Dodgers.
With its Japanese players.
With its Japanese players, yes. The American team with the Japanese MVP.
Yes.
Won the World Series. They won game 6 in Toronto on Friday night to force the winner take all game 7. And then in one of the best baseball games that any of us has ever and will ever see, the LA Dodgers won game 7, 5-4 in 11 innings. The Blue Jays, Buck, were so close.
They were right there, man.
They were 2 outs away. They were actually up 4-2 going into the 8th inning. Max Muncy, Baylor Bear, hit a home run to make it 4-3. But still, 4-3 going into the 9th inning. The Blue Jays have their closer, Jeff Hoffman, on the bump. He gets the first out, no problem. And then the number 9 hitter, Miguel Rojas, who didn't start the first 5 games of the World Series, who hadn't had a hit in a month, gets a hanging slider on a 3-2 pitch, deposits it into the left field seats to tie the game at 4. And then, Buck, the Blue Jays loaded the bases with 1 out in the bottom of the 9th. You get the force play at home. Miguel Rojas, who was playing second base, makes the great play at home, the bang-bang play that went to review. And, oh, Will Smith's foot was almost off the plate, but it wasn't. And then,
still on it.
How about the play in left center field where Ernie Clement hits that deep fly ball to left center, and you get the collision between Kike Hernandez and Andy Páez. Páez somehow makes the catch, sends the game to extra innings, and then Will Smith. No, not that Will Smith. Not that Will Smith either. the solo home run in the top of the 11th to give the Dodgers a 5-4 lead. And then the Jays had another chance. They get runners on first and third with one out in the bottom of the inning. Then Alejandro Kirk, a broken bat double play to end the threat, end the game, end the series, end the baseball season. And the Dodgers win again.
Again.
It's two in a row. They're the first team to repeat since your Yankees, who won three in a row from 98 to 2000. Obviously, the Dodgers will be trying to do that next year.
Oh, they'll be back.
But God, the Blue Jays had so many opportunities all series long, but especially in that game seven. And it's one that's going to sting forever, Buck.
No doubt, like, man.
For the players, for the coaches, for the fans, you will never get over that game. They will never get over, even if they win a World Series 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road.
They feel as bad as the Seattle fans feel.
Yeah, honestly. But you know, that was in the CS. That wasn't in the World Series. That one stings a little bit more. And just brutal. I mean, the Dodgers, they're inevitable. And to be the champ, you got to beat the champ. You got to throw that final haymaker.
Dodgers, and it's got to go all the way to the last out.
Yeah, and they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. The Dodgers, they kept fighting back. And Miggy Rojas. And how about Yoshi Yamamoto, named MVP, coming in relief on 0 days rest. He started game six and was awesome in that game. He comes out of the bullpen in game seven the next day, throws 2 2/3, scoreless innings, got into a few jams, wiggled out of them.
Boy, did he wiggle out of a jam too, didn't he?
Oh, my God. A couple of them. Well-deserved MVP. He won both of his starts, games two and six, and then he had to come out of the bullpen like that and throw like that. Just awesome stuff for him. And the Dodgers are inevitable, Buck. They're very good.
Yeah, it was a fun playoffs.
It was a fun playoffs. That was one of the best World Series I think the sport of baseball has ever seen. And again, I mean, game seven, any game seven is going to be good. Any game seven is going to be intense. But that one was like a 4 hour, Tarantino movie with all the
twists. Yeah, it was great stuff. That was great drama.
Yeah. So congrats to the Dodgers for getting it done. I think most people were rooting for Toronto, but you were rooting for LA. So congrats to your Dodgers, I guess.
Oh, they're not my Dodgers. That's Craig Way's Dodgers, I believe, right?
That is Craig Way's Dodgers. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, it's just hard for me to root for Yo Canada.
Yeah, you do hate Canada a lot.
Yo Canada or whatever it is. They screwed up screwed the Yankees. The Yankees should have been in that instead anyway.
No Canada is what it was. No World Series for you, Canada.
Sorry. I believe
those are the lyrics there. I noticed, Buck, we're like an hour and 45 minutes into today's show, and you have not bragged about your Gold Star locks of the week.
I was not. I got to believe I wasn't good. I wasn't good with my cousin.
That's usually what it means. When you are good, you bring it up 1 minute into the show. When you're not good, you try to avoid talking about it.
I couldn't have been brutal. I have a couple that I must have figured a way to get out of being shut out, at least.
Yeah, you weren't shut out. You were 4-9.
Yeah, that's okay. We can overcome that this week.
You lost 350,000 units.
Yeah, that's all right. Didn't I have some spare change in there anyway?
Yeah, well, now you're down for the season. So
okay, I'll be back this week. We'll be back.
Okay.
You remember, playoffs and bowl games are just around the corner. I'll be, you know what I do, how I come back strong in the end. What was my biggest unit loss?
You did not have anything above 100,000 units this weekend, but you did lose a few 100,000 unit plays. You had Georgia covering against Florida.
Yeah.
That one hurt. How about the kneel down by Gunnar Stockton at the 1 yard line?
What is this? Why all of a sudden a football player? What is this? The smart football player that falls down or at the one and all that? Just play football and score the touchdown. I had a couple kneel downs that hurt me in the course of this weekend too. It hurt me with my cousin badly. Hey, get into the end zone, kick the damn ball off. Quit acting like you're a brainiac, okay?
Gunnar Stockton looks like he's about 50 years old. He's got a lot of experience and wisdom in that dome of his. So,
God, just get into the end zone. They still can't catch you.
Smart play by him there.
I know Kirby must have been pissed at him for doing that.
I don't think so. I don't think he was at all. You had Houston minus 13.5 against West Virginia. They lost.
Oh, by God, West Virginia beat them straight out.
Yeah, that was a stunning result on Saturday. Your other 100,000 unit play in college football was Texas Tech. You got that one right. Texas Tech covering against Kansas State on the road. You missed the Patriots for 100,000 units yesterday. And I think you have 100,000 units on the Dallas Cowboys tonight. So we'll see how that
one goes.
But yeah, you had a lot of misses there. You also had the Blue Jays in game six on Friday. They did not win that game. And yeah, you missed a lot.
I'll be back.
He'll be back. So Cowboys tonight, anything else? Looking at college basketball lines already?
It's too early for basketball. I don't know anything about the hoop game right now. I know Duke is Duke.
You know Duke is Duke. You can bet on Duke tomorrow against Texas if you want.
Early in the season, Duke is they'll be just slapping people around.
Yeah, well, it's a new team. A lot of new players on Duke. But that's college basketball every year. Every team has a
bunch. Yeah, but, you know, they get really good players.
They do get really good players. Yeah, Texas has a lot of new players too, and our players are not quite as good as the new players that Duke got.
Yeah, the Duke guys will be leaving after 1 year.
Yes. Some of Texas's guys will be too, but it's because they're seniors. And they
yeah, because their eligibility is up.
I don't think there's any one and done's on this Longhorn roster.
Did Wimby do anything over the weekend did he have any 50-point games?
I would be lying to you if I told you I was paying any attention to the NBA this weekend. Looks like Victor Wembanyama last night had 9 points on 4 of 14 shooting.
What?
Spurs lost their first game of the year in Phoenix yesterday. And Wemby was terrible, according to literally the box score, because there's too much other stuff going on this weekend for me to care about the NBA. Sorry about that, NBA. All right, let's get back to Texas, unless you have any more thoughts on
The rest of the SEC, you know, so there were some decent games. I was surprised that Georgia didn't throttle Florida. Florida, they were right there in that game. But Georgia, I thought was going to lay the wood to them. They did not, which is a good sign.
Yeah, I did too. And you know, Georgia got the ball first. They marched down the field and scored a touchdown. And I think everybody was like, "All right, this is about to get ugly." But
right.
Florida. I mean, Florida had a 3-point lead in the fourth quarter. They had a chance to kind of put the game away, up 20-17 midway through the fourth quarter. They got into the red zone and they got stuffed on a 4th-and-1. And at that point, you kind of knew it was over. It's crazy. Oh, yeah. They still had a lead, and Georgia had to march the length of the field. But it's like that moment. You could basically sense it just watching the game on TV. Like the Florida fans who were there were like, damn it, that was our chance. And Georgia gets the ball back. They march down the field. They score the go-ahead touchdown. And then Florida turns it over on downs again.
Yeah, and a big win for the Sooners. That way they get to keep their coach. That's great. That's good stuff for us.
Yeah, big win for OU. Well, look, I mean, we're going to be talking a lot about resumes down the stretch. Again, Texas controls its own destiny. So the Longhorns win these final three games of the regular season. The resume is not going to matter that much. It might matter for, I guess, where you're seated, but you are going to be in the field of 12 if you end the year at 10-2, 7-1 right. In the SEC. You'll probably be back in Atlanta as well with a chance to win your conference. But if you lose one more game, then you're going to start hearing conversations about resumes. There's going to be a lot of comparing of resumes. So, yeah, Oklahoma going on the road and beating Tennessee goes without saying that makes the Longhorns' Red River win look better.
Yes, it does.
You might hate Vanderbilt after some of the stuff they pulled on Saturday. Well, you're going to root for Vanderbilt to win these last three games down the stretch.
Absolutely.
So that makes your win over them look a little bit better. And obviously with Georgia and A&M on the schedule, one team's got one loss, one team has zero. That's another resume boosting opportunity, or two more resume boosting opportunities for Texas.
So, just keep winning, Aggies. Just keep doing what you're doing. Keep getting really, really good.
Well, here's the thing for Texas. Again, you want to go 10-2, take any decision out of the committee's hands.
Right.
But if you are going to go 9-3, I think you'd rather lose to Georgia and then win your last two. And I think
absolutely. You're again, right.
Talking about quality of wins. A&M being 11-0 coming into Austin would make that win as quality as possible.
Oh, that's going to be so sweet.
Just threw up in my mouth saying A&M at 11-0. That's disgusting. Fuck. Yeah. I can't root for that.
That's just keep on doing what you're doing. Keep getting better every week.
I can't root for that. Yeah. Aggies were off this past weekend. They will play at Mizzou. That's their toughest game before Texas. They're at Missouri. They get South Carolina at home next week. And then Samford, not Stanford, Samford on November 22nd. And then, of course,
oh, it's that time of the year for the SEC.
I'm so mad at Texas, dude. We missed a golden opportunity. And we know the schedule is changing in the SEC starting next year. So it's going to be nine conference games.
Yeah.
And you have to play that one power four non-conference game. But Texas had 2 years to schedule that week 11 cupcake, just like everybody else in the SEC. They didn't do it.
Nope.
They didn't do it. So I know they had some cupcakes early on, but it would be nice. Not that Arkansas is all that good, but I'd rather have a Samford in between Georgia and A&M than an Arkansas.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Still a rivalry game against a team that has a pretty good offense.
Been nice to play Lehigh.
It'd be nice to play Lehigh. Shit, I'll take Boston College. That's a
cupcake. Yeah, hell yeah, that's right.
Give me any of them, please. We missed it.
They covered against Notre Dame.
They did cover against Notre Dame. You're right. You're right. You did not have that. But they did cover against the Fighting Irish. They only lost by what, 15? Close 15, game for BC.
Yeah. They were supposed to be. There was a 30-point. They're like a 30-point dog in that game.
Yeah, he'll take.
I think the running back from Notre Dame still rushed for like 250 yards.
Probably did. Hey, speaking of Notre Dame, like that's a team you want to lose.
Yes.
Well, the first CFP rankings come out tomorrow, right? So that's all that matters. You'll stop caring about the AP and the coaches poll once we get to tomorrow night because no one's going to be looking at those anymore. But right now in the AP poll and in the coaches poll, Notre Dame is ahead of Texas. Also, Oklahoma is ahead of Texas.
Yeah, how is that?
What in the 2008 is this? Like, if only these two teams could play somewhere so we really could know who's better, right?
Right.
Oh, wait, they did. On a neutral field, and Texas beat the shit out of Oklahoma.
Yes.
What are we doing? So I think, wishful thinking, committee, not always the smartest group, but I think when the CFP rankings come out tomorrow, that Texas will be ahead of Oklahoma. I hope they're ahead of Notre Dame. Notre Dame hadn't beaten anybody.
And who do they play from this point on, Notre Dame? Nobody, right?
Nobody. That's the problem. I think their toughest game is against Pitt. So we got to be like massive Pitt fans here.
Yeah. Pitt Panthers.
When that game is, where that game is, but like, it's a joke. Notre Dame has played two teams and they've lost to both of them. Texas has two top 10 wins on the resume. Both teams have two losses, and yet I got a hunch when the CFP rankings come out, Notre Dame is going to be ahead of Texas tomorrow.
I agree with you.
Which is just a travesty. But good news, by the way, thanks to SMU. I know we mentioned this earlier, but like, the ACC, there were some thoughts that maybe they're going to get two teams in.
They're not.
Tech's playing well. Miami's playing well. Virginia, Louisville. How about Miami losing to SMU?
Dude, I told you that one guy the week before that was talking about Cristobal. He was going nuts. He was on Feinbaum's show, and he was going nuts about Cristobal. You know he's going to lose two in November. He's going to screw it up. And he has.
He's such a terrible man. Two games, two losses to unranked teams at Miami, and they're out. Like,
oh, they're done.
They're done. Nice win for SMU, by the way. I think first home win against a top 10 team for SMU since the Pony Express days. So nice.
Those two dudes were at the game.
Yeah. Yeah, they were. Yeah. James and Dickerson were both there, right?
Yep.
That was pretty cool to see. So that was nice. So again, you're scoreboard watching, you're rooting against Notre Dame, you're rooting against
Georgia,
like BYU, Texas Tech. We have no problems rooting against Texas Tech, do we? And no. Yeah, teams like Georgia rooting against basically everybody.
It's that time of the year. You got to start rooting against some other teams.
You've got the best chance possible to get into the field of 12. We mentioned this earlier, but Hugh Freeze got fired. It's the fourth Sunday in a row, Buck, that a major college football coach lost his job. It started with James Franklin back on October 12th. The week after, it was Billy Napier. Last weekend, it was Brian Kelly. Yesterday, Hugh Freeze. 15-19 at Auburn, 4-5 this year. I think they were 1-5 in SEC play. And they were six.
He can truly go play golf now. It's a great time.
Oh, he already was, anyways.
He was during the summer, during spring practice.
Yeah, when he was supposed to be, you know, coaching and recruiting, he was playing golf. So no. I don't think his schedule is going to change that much. I guess now he can play on Saturdays.
Yeah, that's right. He can play weekend golf.
Sounds like he was already playing on Mondays through Fridays, but now he can get out there on Saturdays too. Auburn's going to pay him just shy of $16 million to leave. The total coaches' buyouts this year now over $182 million. And again, the season's not even close to over.
Paying dudes for not working. Nice.
Paying dudes for not working. Remember when Texas fans and, like, not really just Texas fans, but people freaked out that Texas didn't give Charlie Strong or Tom Herman enough time? Now you're seeing coaches get fired in the middle of year two, middle of year three. I mean, it's
this is a 3-year deal now. Whenever you, whatever job you take, you better be get it done within 3 years or you're gone.
Yeah. Hugh Freeze didn't even get to finish his third year.
No.
They didn't let that thing play out. And hard to blame him with that loss to Kentucky. So next? Who's next, Buck? That's the question. It's four Sundays in a row. Who's going to make it five this weekend?
I don't know if you count BC as a power, but they still are 1-7, 1-8 or something like that.
Bill O'Brien could be next.
Bill O'Brien, he's got to be gone.
Yeah. Could Dabo be gone? Would they?
Well, he's going to keep his mouth quiet, I guarantee you this week. You're not going to hear much from him at his press conference about my past.
He did get fined, by the way, yesterday for comments about the officials that he made for their loss to Duke, which I think he had a right to complain.
Okay, but let's be careful so we don't get fined.
Texas Sports Unfiltered?
Yeah, we don't need that.
No, we do not need that at all. No. Can we get fined? Can we get fined?
Let's just be careful. We don't want the SEC to try to fine us.
I don't care. I'll say it. The refs
They were terrible.
That was a disaster on Saturday by them. And again, if you bet on Texas -3.5, I'm so sorry. You deserve to get your money back and then some damages.
Of course, my cousin had +2 for Vandy.
That's what you get for betting against Texas.
Yeah.
I don't feel bad for you.
No.
Feel bad for everybody else. Never feel bad for you. So I don't know. You know, Dabo's buyout is absolutely massive. I think it's over $60 million. I don't know if it'll be him. Maybe it's Mark Stoops at Kentucky. Who knows? We're starting to lose bodies in the SEC. We're starting to lose bodies all over the country. And yeah, four Sundays in a row where a major college program has fired their coach. And, you know, there's been plenty of other firings around the sport as well. All right, quick shout out here to the Hecht Law Firm, Ryan Hurricane Hecht, your go-to personal injury attorney here in Austin, Texas, USA, America.
Looks like my dog didn't bite anybody over the Halloween weekend. Everything was good.
That's good. So Hurricane Hecht is not going to be suing you?
No.
That's good. Good to hear. Well, if you need Hurricane Hecht on your side, if a dog bit you, if you get into a car wreck, whatever, reach out to him. He's the best, and he will be with you every step of the way. He's been a personal friend of mine for more than a decade, and he has been fighting for justice and big results for a decade here in Central Texas. Don't call the jabronis you see on TV. They're spending all their time on TV. They're not fighting for you. They're not in the courtroom. They're just pawning you off on some law student and just hoping they do a good enough job. That's not the case with Hurricane Hecht. You're going to get the actual lawyer. You're going to get the guy whose name is on the firm fighting for you every step of the way. 512-938-8929, hechtlawfirm.com for more information.
Sweet. All right, boys. I know you got Rodney in there.
This is what? This is like four crosstalks in a row.
What's your deal here, man?
Monday. Monday is dog day. You know, they come and cut the grass. The dog's out there barking like mad. I mean, I got responsibilities to the babies here.
I'm getting a complex here, dude. I'm getting a complex about this.
Would you like for me to go ahead and bring – would you like to have Zach come into the room here? You don't want that. BK, I know you don't want that. You've heard that sound before.
Yeah.
He just sits back there and licks. That's all.
Yeah, I got two over here. They're just, you know.
I don't know how you guys have those dogs so well behaved. I got a couple mutts, and the little one here would just go – what do? Just food them? Do you just give them food?
Yeah, they're motivated by food. It's funny you say that because my neighbor in my back, I'm not going to mention his name. I actually don't know his name, but the guy in my backyard, the guy that I share a backyard with, he thinks that motivating his dog is by beating them. They can't understand that.
No.
Like, I hear this, and then I hear this. I was like, he's not going to understand that, dickhead. Why don't you give him get a trainer?
Yeah. Or you know what you get him? Get him like I got him.
I just heard.
Megan trainer.
Like I'm a little red. Like I just but it's easy. Like all you got to do is just it's food, right? Like of course you bait them with food. You get them to follow you with food, no matter what they do. And then all this like this like Rocky.
Yeah, now, yeah. You know that's why they make shock collars. They make them for your children and your pets. I mean, my kids have done well with the shock collar.
Shock collars for me. Huh?
Yeah,
for me.
It makes you jump and it helps out your motor skills when you hit that button, you fly up in the air.
The fast twitch. It helps with the fast twitch going. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I have one of those for my big dog. I do have a shock collar because I try to keep him from when the gate opens up to not run to the gate. It really, really has worked. He doesn't go near that gate because I put my hand out the window like bzz, bzz, and that dog goes, yeah, he's out of there.
So when something like that happens, we call it a treat party, right? Where we actually say treat party and we dump the entire bag. It is very effective. It gets him. Rocky has gone out the door without a collar on. He has snuck out the door and we have said treat party. He comes flying back and he comes and you have to reward him because that's what they remember, right? It's Pavlov's law, right? I swear to God, we have done this so well that if we had a robber coming to get like just breaking into our house and Rocky had a bowl of food just in front of me, be like, hold up, guys, let me finish this stuff real quick. You know, it don't take him long to eat. But, you can't see him. He's the one that's over here. But Bianca's all the way in the back. She could give two shits about anything. But Rocky, Rocky's very motivated by food.
Big K needs a pet at the apartment. I don't know why he doesn't have a pet.
I don't know I think Bianca might have turned him off. He met Bianca one time and
he's got Megan. Wasn't that her name, Megan?
So bad, dude. Like she was just breathing death breath on him upstairs. And look at her. I mean, she's just back there licking her crotch. She's amazing.
I gotta go get mine and get some peanut butter so my crotch too. All right, bye boy. Right.
Later, guys. That's what he's leaving the show early to do. He's putting peanut butter on his crotch and having his dogs over. Did I hear that right?
I didn't hear crotch. I thought he said some type of food, right?
I heard crotch.
I'm trying to cover for him.
It's true, man, because my dogs get those, and I'm not saying that T-R-E-A-T word because they're over there and they respond to that one. It's words they know. They know that word. They know studio. They know L-U-N-C-H, and they know the Texas quarterback's name. They respond to all of those words right there. But they get those for waking up every time I go outside. They get one when I come back all the time. Spoiled kids, but they are well behaved. They're just over there, man.
Meanwhile, Wags is getting the cops, the HOA, and PETA called on his back neighbor this morning.
Okay. Gross. You shouldn't beat your dog. I'm going to say that. That's a public announcement. Dogs don't understand English. You don't have to beat.
Oh yeah, they do. They do understand.
They do. They understand and the four letter words. Like WALK, they understand for sure, right? But
yeah,
I don't know, man.
I had a dog.
I have a big problem with that. I have a big problem when you beat anybody that beats a dog.
We had one dog that was a little silly, and I used to call him Cabron all the time, and he'd come running every time. Every time.
Wag said they don't know English. They know Spanish, apparently, but not English. That's how it works. That's funny.
That's right.
Whoa. What do we got? What's shaking there, guy? What's shaking?
I'm not entirely sure here. Something's going on. Maybe it's my upstairs neighbor. Chelsea is her name.
Chelsea. I thought it was Megan. Sorry. Same difference.
Lowering the standards, Chelsea.
We've got a winner to announce. The winner for today's $150 Cabo Bob's Catering gift certificate. We go to the Coda text line. How about Grant, today's winner? Grant. Give me that gift card. Give me that gift card. Didn't have an E in give. It was just G-I-V, but we don't discriminate bad spelling here on this show. Grant, congratulations. Thank you for tuning in this morning. You are the winner of this week's Cabo Bob's Catering gift certificate.
Grant from ABC Commercial.
I do not know. It just says Grant.
I think we might have seen a hockey game with Grant before.
Oh, nice. I like that, Grant. I think I know his last name. I'm not going to say it. Just to,
right. I'm not going to dox him like that. I'm not doing that.
I'm not giving him your neighbor treatment where I'm just going to shit on him for the next.
I didn't even say my neighbor. I didn't even say.
You don't know his name. So I don't know if you would have helped
him. I really don't know his name. I know the dog's name because he's yelling at the dog so much, but I don't know his
name. By 10 o'clock, BK, mark my words, Wags will say his name.
But yeah. I know the dog's name.
You know what, guys? How about a giveaway for y'all's show? I'm putting y'all on the spot here. Are y'all okay doing a giveaway today?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
We got a $25 Via 313 pizza card for the people.
Boom. Can I just keep that?
Boom. The cousin just dropped that on you?
The stork, I guess. Same place where babies come from. Just dropped it.
That's what I told my card.
Yeah, no, Chelsea. Chelsea, if she knows I had this, she'd be banging on the door, breaking through to try to get some. Nice. Yeah, that was mean, but she's mean, so I don't feel too bad about it. So, however y'all want to handle this, just let me know who wins. And congrats to Grant for the Cabo Bob's gift card, and I'll be listening, boys. Y'all have a great show. See y'all tomorrow.
Thank you, man.